WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome back to, I always say this, welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast. It'll be rude if I didn't say that. So here I am again. We're absolutely smashing it. Theo's still here. I can't believe he's still here.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Theo? And we have an amazing guest with us today, Tarek Kazemi, the co-founder and CEO of Boldbro. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Good
very,
to be here.
Very nice, very nice. Tarek, we're not gonna do a massive intro. We'll just get stuck into this first question. So when you came up for the idea of Boldbro, or you and your co-founders, what was the defining moment when you thought, right, Bold Blokes, we need to kind of put out a champion product for them and support them, or however you want to phrase it?
Okay, well, it was pre-product, really. What we were kind of sick and tired of was a commercial narrative, a societal narrative that was basically anti-bold. Mm. So we live in a society where the only advertising that you'd ever see about hair loss is saying that you're suffering from something, that something's going wrong, that you're, you need to be cured. And as three bald guys, we were just totally tired of that. You know, we'd realized we'd gone through some pain and anxiety through the hair loss process, but when we actually shaved our heads and took control of it, we realized there was nothing to worry about. So what we wanted to do first was just set up a community that kind of just championed that message, inspired young guys who are maybe losing their hair to not worry about it, see that there was like light at the end of the tunnel. And through that process, we just started an Instagram community. And we did realize that there was potentially a commercial opportunity as well, because there is one downside to being bald, is that you're more likely to get, you're more vulnerable to UV rays, you're more vulnerable to certain types of skin damage, more vulnerable to the elements. You know, you've got all this skin on top of your head that's been protected by hair that no longer is. Mm-hmm. So we understood that there was a need for some products and none existed. And that community reinforced that. So we set about developing it, and it took about 2 years. Mm-hmm. It took 2 years before we released the product. But really that moment was when we came together during COVID and said, look, it's just time for a change of this, because we're just sick and tired of it.
Yeah. And prior to, like you said, productizing it or whatever, like we talked off air a lot about like the community side of it and how it sort of started as like online community and things like that. Could you talk us through like what sort of things you would do prior to the brand of Boldbro?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, Ben, co-founder, he's the guy who kind of came up with the name, the logo, the brand itself. So it was there, and we just launched it. It was an Instagram community. So it wasn't too much about feeling sorry for ourselves or, we're not counselors or anything like that, but it was just a place where we could say, look, here's some hair loss stories, for example, yeah, where someone was losing their hair, shaved their head. Here's a before and after picture. Here's their, you know, a few paragraphs from them,
yeah,
and let them know how they felt after shaving their head. And without any exception, guys are just super happy once they've done it, and they've taken control of something that was controlling them. So we just kind of pushed that message. And then obviously, you know, a picture of Kelly Slater, of Jason Statham, just, you know, so showing some cool bald guys.
Really cool bald guys. Yeah.
And then that's obviously, as our social media has grown, that's really developed into something else now, and what we do on our channels organically.
Just put you on the spot, yeah? Who is your top coolest bald guy?
It's a tough one. There's so many.
There is a lot.
There's so many. I mean, maybe Stanley Tucci. He's super cool.
Okay.
I mean, Gandhi.
He's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, they should definitely be on Boldbro then.
Yeah, well.
There you go, Gandhi, if you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, might have missed the vote on that one. You mentioned sort of your co-founder.
Yeah.
Multiple co-founders, right?
Correct.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. You've got three bald guys, come from very different backgrounds, obviously all got very different strengths.
Yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about what each of those were, but particularly like what you brought to the table, particularly in the early days of, you know, building the e-commerce side of it.
Got you. So, I mean, at the beginning, it was a real mess, right? Because we were all doing...
Always is.
We were all doing everything together. So we'd turn up to our first investor meeting, for example, all sitting there, super green, not really knowing kind of what things like SEIS, EIS, how to structure around, you know, and that was across the board. So we were just really it started as a passion project. I had a background in e-commerce,
yeah.
but had never raised money and had always done it sort of self-financed. Richard had come from a background of property, and Ben is the artistic, the creative one. Okay. So he had an award-winning Amazon product, an Amazon bestseller. So it's like I said, at the beginning, we'd chip in on everything together. How that's developed is we've been really, really lucky. So Ben is creative director and he sort of owns that zone. Richard runs the warehouse and the staffing, and I take care of more of the operational side of things. We all still chip in and kind of do some, I'd say, due diligence on each other's departments, and we're all very collaborative, but we've managed to sort of own our spaces, which I think is really, really lucky. Because you hear some stories of conflict with, you know, co-founder conflict. We don't really have that at all. We're super supportive of each other. And we try and build that support, but while not getting too into each other's business as we grow the business.
Nice. And in those early days, like on your side of things, probably having that background in e-commerce before allowed you to know when things were actually going good compared to like industry standards, right? Like around the ad spend, how that was performing, etc. Like maybe you could talk us through what were some indicators that, hell, there might actually be something here.
Well, so like I said before, this was really started as a passion project that we wanted a cool product that, so we self-financed it and we said, so the product itself is a matte moisturizer with SPF, something that takes away shine, makes the skin look good and protects from UV rays. It was this sort of hero product that we've built upon later on. So once we came together and financed that, we knew if it didn't sell, we had a product that we were happy with for the rest of our lives.
Mm. You could use it.
We could use it. So we said, okay, look, we've manufactured 1,000 of these things, taken 2 years of R&D. We love it. If no one else does, fine with us. Ben did a quick video, a single video ad that we launched on Meta. And it just said, hey, if you're lucky enough to be bored like me, check out Bulbra Daily. That converted immediately, first day. And I knew from my background in e-commerce, that's not a given.
Yeah, that's not normal.
that's not a given. And not just, it converted at a great CPA. So, I mean, obviously it's really, you know, very low volume. But from that moment, we realized that we had something. And from that moment, it's when the three of us changed course of our lives and our careers. And Bulbra really stopped in that moment from being a passion project to what it is, you know, to start to become what it is now.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 4 sponsor, Cubix Media. Cubix are a Shopify agency and Shopify Plus partner that specializes in crafting beautiful and reliable web stores. If you're a brand looking for Shopify services, replatforming, development, or e-com strategy, then head over to Cubix Media. Let's get back into the podcast.
And a big part of that journey has obviously been the development of multiple products as well. So maybe you could talk us through how you went from this hero product one, towards where the range is today and how you sort of make decisions around when we should release a new product and what that should be.
Got you. So what we wanted to do, so if you look at the skincare market and how brands like to launch, often they'll just look for a niche and they'll get white label products off the shelf. So let's say, okay, people with brown hair, let's do a cosmetic product for them. They go to a manufacturer. Can you just label your stock moisturizer?
For brown hair, whatever
it is, right? So, and at the beginning, we actually looked at that option. Yeah. We said, okay, is there some great products that we can just label as Bulbra? It's what sort of smaller brands in the space do. And there wasn't. There was nothing that was fit for purpose. Like I said, you know, they've got these core skincare issues as bald guys. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to develop skincare that really dealt with that. We wanted to do a cool brand that represented bald guys, but we wanted to do really effective and good skincare as well, sort of up to the sort of dermo-cosmetology level, not just the stuff you can buy in Boots or Tesco's or whatever. So as we developed it, we liaised with the community. We wanted to make sure that people actually wanted to not have a shiny head, and there's some bald guys, they love a shiny head. Yeah. So you know, we can't please everyone.
Yeah.
But we did some polls, and we understood that our insight from our own lives was kind of reflected in the community. As we've done more product development, it's been reflected again from the community. So we'll get incoming requests all the time. So the second product we did was an SPF 50 waterproof edition of the Hero product. Wow. That was all from community requests. Then a complimentary anti-aging night product. So Bulbro Daily, it protects, it moisturizes, and it takes away shine. Yeah. Bulbro Night replenishes and hydrates. So it's a sort of the all-in-one skincare solution for bald guys. Mm-hmm. The next step, and what's coming out later in the year, will be a shave range. Because bald guys, it's habitual. We all shave our heads at some point. And there are product requirements around that. And they're not necessarily quite suited for bald guys, you know. So we do that. We know what we'd like. We are the essential guinea pigs of the products that we release.
Yeah.
But also we definitely talk to the community as well and make sure that what we're thinking is also thought by the guys that we sell to.
Yeah.
Nice. Next question. There is a lot of numbers and stats in here, so I am just genuinely going to read it because there's no way I am remembering these numbers.
Sure.
But hopefully they are still correct. Mm. So over the past few years, you've grown to over 2.5K active subscribers.
Yeah, it's nearly 3,000 active subscribers right now.
Whoever made these questions is out of date.
You've done over 2.5 million in revenue last year.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes, you got that one right. And in June alone, you recorded over 8,000 orders.
Correct. Yes.
That's good.
Someone's done his research. Yeah, done his research.
Well, it changed. I mean, I think it changed like because it keeps growing, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually, well, it's quite incredible. So when we're talking about growth of that scale, rapid growth, like we're from a tech background, what's the tech that's kind of really supported that journey?
We are incredibly untechnical as a brand. I mean, in this e-commerce space, I speak to other founders and we are so prehistoric in a lot of what we do. We built everything is self-built. Ben built the website. We initially set up all our flows ourselves. Everything was as simple as it could possibly be. The subscription software was the cheapest one we could find. I mean, everything was really bootstrapped. Even outside of software, you know, we would just bootstrap everything we could. On the technical side, so the question is which sort of...
Yeah, is there any kind of solutions, you know, or platforms that have kind of helped support your growth? Maybe we could talk about the subscription platform or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Shopify is great. Like we launched with Shopify. We found it. It is a brilliant platform. When we first started using it, and I got to know it more. I mean, I'd in my past e-commerce business, we'd used custom build on Magento, and I'd never really understood why that choice had been made. When Shopify kind of provides all these things for you and doesn't. There are some hidden charges that you have to be careful of, but it really is a brilliant platform for growth and provides this sort of firewall of security and things like that that you don't have to worry about as a sort of sole player in the market. With subscriptions, we use quite a basic subscription software called Seal. Again, they're functional, which is what we needed at the beginning. And I think how we've built this business is just in a very functional way and really based it off community and product. Mm-hmm. And we're now at a stage where we've had all this growth. I mean, you mentioned it's like 850% growth last year.
Crazy.
We're on track for maybe 400% this year. Mm. Now it's about finding those optimizations.
Yeah.
But I think before you start optimizing, at least prove what you have is solid. Because the amount of optimizing you do, if you don't have a solid core of a business, if you don't have a solid, like we have this amazing community and we have an amazing product. At the end of the day, that's going to pretty much save you in your initial growth journey. And then it's at this stage where we say, okay, you start looking at metrics and start talking to investors, what they want to see. Mm-hmm. And then you have to say, kind of go into it and say, oh, maybe do we pay a lot more for a better subscription software that's integrated better with Shopify, that offers custom bundling, that you can A/B test and say, okay, is that stuff that we need to do? How much will it cost? What effect will it have on the business?
Yeah.
You know, and does it provide a service to that the customer actually appreciates as well?
It's really refreshing to hear this because, you know, sometimes you speak to brands maybe of a similar size or even bigger and or even smaller sometimes, and you know, they've invested heavily in tech from an early point when maybe it's a bit too, it's overkill sometimes at some point, right? So it's really refreshing that you've focused on product, you've really got that right, and now you're getting to a point where you say, okay, well, is there areas or is there solutions that can further support us and optimize it?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And you see it a lot. I mean, there's no right answer. You can get to the wherever you want to go in various different routes. And I think the only shared trait amongst sort of successful brands and successful founders is a grit and determination. Mm-hmm. We all do things in different ways. But for us, I mean, we didn't know about these things. We weren't, when I was in e-commerce before, I was on the operations side. Mm. So it wasn't technical. Ben had launched an Amazon bestseller, but within the Amazon platform.
Yeah.
And Richard was very much hands-on. So we didn't know what's out there in this world of Shopify apps and optimizations and split testing and LTV optimizers and all this kind of stuff. So we just built a brand that we wanted to build.
Yeah.
And I think in a way, that's kind of what makes Bull Bro a bit special. And that's what, and with things like customer service, you know, there's amazing apps and things and plugins to Shopify, such as the ones you guys are linked to.
Yeah.
But you just be really good at your customer, care about your customer, number one.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you need to do.
You could have the best app in the world.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you don't give two hoots about it, then you're still going to be bad.
Exactly. I mean, I as a founder, until very recently, was going into all the customer service emails. And if anything wasn't template answer, you know, sort of tracking or something, I would take my time and look at it and see what they're saying and try and respond. Mm-hmm. Because we weren't getting that many inbound because, you know, we provide the tracking info and all this. So it wasn't overwhelming.
Yeah.
It started to, you know, as the volumes have gone up. But I think that level of care is understood by a customer in a world where we're so used to waiting for 20 minutes online, speaking to either a recorded robot, now it's going to be an AI generated voice, things like that. So to actually definitely see that there's a person at the other end who actually does care, it means a lot to the buyer and the customer.
I love this. Like, there's this people we've been speaking to on the podcast lately. Like, I really love speaking to founders who are just genuine on a personal level invested in the brand. We did a podcast with Rundaware, shout out, go listen to that episode. It's similar in terms of he was an athlete. He was a runner. He built the brand off that and a community. And it's a similar to, and you can just, when speaking to you guys, you can really, it just feels different. Like the brand feels different to other brands.
Well, like to go back to the founder story and how we just invested in the product we love, we still have that mentality. Mm-hmm. Everything, so the shave range that I'm talking about that we're launching this year, we really wanted to do a cleansing exfoliator, an aftershave balm, a sort of soothing balm, and a shave cream. And we just, as much as we worked for 2 years, we've been working on these formulas, and we just couldn't nail the shave cream. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, well, let's just not do one, you know, because we're not, there's better products in the market right now. And until we perfect it and really bring out something that's going to make a difference and is especially for bald guys, like doesn't interact with the sort of the lubricant strips on razors, that actually is super sensitive, that actually prevents sort of ingrown hairs and things that we get as bald guys shaving our head, let's not release it. It's not just, obviously it makes more sense as a Christmas bundle or something to have the three, but we'll do the two because they're really good products. Cool. And we think that's just the long-term effect of that is it won't devalue our brand.
Yeah.
So because the customer's smart, right? If you suddenly start bringing new SKUs into market, they see they're just being exploited.
Yeah.
So obviously we want to leverage brand loyalty, but we only want to do that with products that we ourselves love.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think with Bull Bro, we always want it as founders to represent us, to represent what Bull Bro is all about, which is just bald acceptance and kind of not normalizing that bald is pretty, is all right, you know?
Celebrating it, not hiding it.
Yeah, right? Celebrating it. Just saying like, look, there's no issue. We actually quite like being bald.
Yeah.
And no one's really said that before. So that's the sort of the North Star of what Bull Bro is all about.
The new slogan should be, if it's good enough for Gandhi, it's good enough
for Gandhi. Well, we go with no hair, don't care, but I like that.
No hair, don't care is good too. Yeah. Marketing guy.
Two different paths of slogans.
Yeah. We were talking about Shopify, and as you were saying that, I had one more question that's sort of coming to mind. You've talked about, okay, now's maybe the time where you start to optimize the apps that surround it, look at, you know, what is the ROI of this? Is it worth it for us, right? Do you think, because I think the old perception maybe of Shopify is that you outgrow it at some point, right? Or that it's, to your point, super easy to set up, but can big brands using it? I think we're starting to see that being challenged hugely, but I'd be interested in your perspective. Do you think that you'll stay with Shopify forever and it can scale with you at the rate that you continue to grow at?
I think it depends on them, to be honest with you. So one of the things I look at is the, as you grow internationally specifically, and the currency fees and payment processing fees, and you look at, okay, well, what would be the difference if we custom built this and had a, you know, a contract with another provider, payment processor? Because in that world, that's where they're where you start to see, okay, well, the subscription fee, even if you're on Shopify Plus, is not massive compared to revenue. But if they're taking these percentages, and especially on currency, is a place where you could say, well, actually, we're losing quite a lot. So I think it depends on what the custom solution Shopify can provide to you and where they can put their rates. We're not there yet for those discussions, but I think as a platform, it's brilliant. I mean, it genuinely is brilliant. But as long as they don't get greedy. I mean, one of the most frustrating things I have, and it's not to do with Shopify, it's to do with PayPal. So we accept multi-currency payments. Like, we have customers in Norway, Sweden, and we're getting krona and euro and whatever. It sits there in PayPal. They've already taken a huge commission. And then if I want to convert it, so if I have, for example, if I receive US dollars and I'm buying packaging in US dollars or something, fine, it's okay. But if I receive, if I receive foreign currency, I've already paid 3-4%. And then to convert to home currency as a UK business, they charge another 5% spread. And it's daylight robbery because it's within this PayPal system. And so for me, that it really incentivizes brands like us to not offer PayPal.
It's just
saying, hey guys, this is this, and there's no solution because they just ring fence the money in there. So if Shopify on their currency and stuff do things like that, then I think if you get really big and you start doing large numbers of international currencies, is when you looked for maybe a bespoke solution for you, because it'll be just so, it'll be worth it, and you'll have the resources to build outside of that. But you know, I spoke to Shopify and talked to them and just hope that they realize that and don't take the PayPal model.
Interesting. That's for sure interesting. And I think from our side, we hear a lot around like how, and we kind of touched on it before, like the Shopify ecosystem in theory helps you save in other areas, right? That's, I think, the whole model. But it's very cool. Like I say, I asked the question because you're on the brand side. So yeah, appreciate that.
There's always a feeling, you know, because Shopify, especially over the last 5 years, has like started to dominate the space, right? Even like when we were starting out, you know, 6-7 years ago, whatever, I saw a lot more other platforms which other brands would use, maybe Big Commerce, or now they're called Commerce, or Magento would lose into that. Like, Shopify seemed to really kind of got hold of the space, and there is always a risk of that, and you hope that they don't do this, but there is always a risk that because they control the space that they can do what they want, if they want to, right, they can implement what they want. So, you know, hopefully they kind of don't do that and keep keep doing the good stuff.
You, I mean, you want a competitive ecosystem, right? I mean, it's, but that, I mean, they are really good. They are beginning to dominate it, but it does need to be competitive so it's not exploited. I think one room that they could really improve is, well, if it's them or the space of the apps themselves. You know, there's all these bespoke solutions to problems that brands like us have and trying to find the answers. And the way the app system works is really quite difficult. The, you know, we wanted to do a gender analysis on customer lists, and there's two apps there with one review, and you're thinking, okay, you know, how do I do this? What is trusted? What isn't? And that spreads across quite wide. So you end up, even as founders, watching, you know, YouTube review videos of which is the best for this. And it seems that they could maybe do more to validate, you know, these providers that are integrating with the Shopify ecosystem.
Particularly on the niche side, presumably, right? Like where you're looking at a specific need of gender analysis.
But even wider than that, there's lots of things. I mean, bundling, for example. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. So, I mean, that is niche, but even in more widespread stuff, you know, email providers, it's dominated by Klaviyo. When we were setting that up, okay, it's really difficult to know who to choose, Omnisend, Klaviyo, MailChimp. But what, you know, there doesn't seem to be a clear comparison of what you know,
it's set,
who offers what. So yeah. You just have to go, everyone just tells you, okay, Klaviyo's the one, and that's, yeah. So you end up using it.
Yeah, and probably the reference point you have is Klaviyo saying they're the best versus MailChimp and the rest,
yeah.
And MailChimp having the same sort of pages, and you're like, well, everyone's sort of obviously writing their own narrative, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some people, some companies might have alliances more towards other ways, and they say that's the best, you know, as well, so.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we've chatted, I guess, at length there about Shopify, and I appreciate it. It's really good. Perhaps we could touch on other channels too. I was curious, like, what other channels you're looking at as, you know, growth levers, essentially, at the end of the day. Are we looking at marketplaces? We talked about Amazon very briefly. You know, getting into retail. What's the plan?
Okay, so the next step for us is an Amazon launch. We've held back for quite some time. We just updated the formulas of our products to sort of the next generation in UV filters and things. And if you do that, barcode changes, and then you'd have to relist on Amazon. So we held back. We know we're sort of losing out in market share. We can see that there's plenty of conversions with our keywords already on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, that's a big priority. We're going to see what TikTok Shop's all about. With the listings alive, but obviously we need to direct traffic there and have a marketing strategy around that. We have very strong organic content on TikTok with our head of social media, Jake Massey, who used to be at Lab Bible.
Yeah.
He's doing some brilliant stuff where we just talk about baldness. We don't talk about product.
Yeah.
It's sort of seeing the societal narrative about baldness and trying to be thought leaders in that topic. And then you mentioned retail. Yeah, I mean, retail's a tough one. It obviously, we'd like to be there. I think a brand like Bald Bro has enough appeal. You know, there's 4 million bald guys in the UK, completely bald guys in the UK. They've not been addressed. It's a big enough market for us to be in places like Boots.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're a very high quality product, so it's a little bit more pricey than people may be used to. But I think that, especially in men's skincare, men are starting to realize that you have to spend money if you want an actually good product.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't. If you go in and buy a £5 product that does call it a moisturizer, it's just water with a bit of fragrance.
Yeah.
That's in a nice bit of packaging. It's not going to do anything for your skin. So if you actually want skincare, you have to pay for it. So once that's really, and it's becoming understood, I think there'll be more spaces for us in retailers. But I think, you know, what I hear, you have to be around the 10 million revenue mark before retailers feel comfortable.
Mm.
They're very risk averse. So we're not banking on being there right now, but it's definitely part of our broader strategy.
Nice.
And really what we're doing, I mean, what we're just trying to do is make Bald Bro synonymous with the category. I mean, we won the Men's Health Award Best for Bald. It didn't exist before us. So we're leading a category, but also defining the category.
Yeah, very cool.
And so, you know, there's brilliant things about that, but there's also challenges.
Yeah.
So, and then just the education of people that this is a category and people want it.
And having it in the name. I mean, yeah, like, seems like an obvious thing, but at the end of the day, like, what we're talking about here is like community, bros, brotherhood, whatever, like Bald Bros, you know, like it's right there to the point of retail. You would want, once people are more accepting of, okay, this is sort of the price point I need to be at for like good quality skincare in general.
Mm.
Like if they walk in, they know what that is, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's, I mean, part of us, a big strategy now is becoming recognized as a household name, not just by our community, the bald guys, but also broader than that, because for what we produce, it's a perfect gifting opportunity.
Yep. Yeah.
And everyone knows a bald guy or is married to a bald guy or has a bald father or a bald uncle. So it's useful for us to be more well-known just outside of our core target.
Nice.
So yeah, we're doing everything we can to push that.
Cool.
Nice. And your kind of model at the minute, you offer a lot of kind of like subscriptions, you know, maybe different perks and things like that. When we're talking about like customer loyalty, retention, all that kind of stuff, how has that impacted that for Bald Bro?
So what we found so far is that we have a very, very loyal customer base, and that once a customer has bought past the second or third order, retention is something like 80%.
Wow.
So, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, super high.
Yeah, because I mean, but that's built across the product being excellent. And the brand representing them, which hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
How we build that and how we kind of look to cultivate that is through the community side of things. So keeping the products excellent, offering very robust and non-committal subscriptions. So not trying to tie people into everything. If they get sent an order and decide they don't want it, we just return it. No issues. We're not trying to sort of take anyone's money underhand here.
Yeah.
We just want to deliver a great product that people want.
Yeah.
And then we use merch as well. So things like, we provide a sticker in our first order. We get requests all the time. Oh, can I have a sticker for my laptop, for my mountain bike? And I don't think that happens just of the brand logo.
Yeah.
We send a t-shirt for the 10th order. People buy the t-shirts. That's really powerful for a men's grooming brand.
Yeah.
People are not buying Nivea t-shirts. They are with Ball Bro.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel as cool, Nivea.
No. And that's it. And that's why I think Ball Bro is more than just a skincare brand, although we're an excellent one. It's a movement and it's like, it is a brotherhood. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And then, like, we're talking about different advertising ways as well. Like, yes, within your current customer base, but like one thing I found very interesting and very cool that I wanted to dive into today was with Ball Bro, you started fully digitally. We talked about Meta and things previously, but then you've actually taken this more like untested, or at least recently untested route of going out of home, doing advertisements on the tube, for example, getting in newspapers. Can you talk me through why that was part of the strategy? And then, like, if someone's listening and being like, yeah, we should do that, how they would even go about getting on the tube? Because we've never spoken about this, right? And I always see ads on the tube and think, how much would that cost? Or how do you do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a murky world, right? So we were really lucky. We've had an external advisor at Ball Bro, a guy called Guy Crozier, who runs a consulting firm called Crozier Consulting, and he's an old school media guy. And he was helping us in our journey, helping us fundraise, things like that. And he really pushed us towards doing our first ever brand out of home campaign. It was a brand campaign, which is actually in newspapers last year.
Yeah.
And it was really, really a difficult decision because you have no idea what it's going to represent, what it's going to return, and you just have to trust the process. So my advice to people thinking about doing it is don't do it expecting any kind of immediate result, obviously. Yeah. Do it as part of a broader omni-channel strategy and do it in a way that it's not overcommitting financially. You're going to need someone who can operate in that area. If you speak to random agencies and you look at, for example, CPMs on radio, so we did TalkSport advertising.
Yep.
We've had quotes, someone tell us they've got best deals in the industry at 15 quid CPM, at 6 quid CPM. And, so there's a lot of charlatans out there that are not really representing. So you need someone really good, like we have with Guy, who knows that space and can go in there and kind of find out where the value is for a brand like us. Because we also, being on the, under 10 million revenue, we have to be very careful financially and not overcommit in this, where it's a more of a long-term brand piece than it is an immediate ROI.
Yeah.
So what we look to do is just try and find good opportunities. For example, the tube advertising, it can vary. If you want this exact placement on this day and this part of the platform, it will cost a lot more than if you just maybe take what's available and have it and see and move around there.
Yeah.
And that ties into the contact of knowing someone good, right? They can navigate that and get you the best deal for exactly what you're after, right? The best value.
Exactly. If someone you trust, right? Yeah. Because there's, like I said, there's so many people who will present themselves as, they'll know there's a lot of ignorance in that space and say, well, okay, you want to be here, this is the best deal. And you have to be careful about what you present, how, and that's a brand decision at the end of the day. Are you going to advertise product? Are you going to advertise brand? How are you going to measure ROI? What's going to be defined as success? You don't know. And I think what we've done is we really took a risk, but a really calculated one. And we knew when we invested what we did in the brand activations, we had no expectation on that hitting an immediate return or anything. So it was more a belief that it would help elevate us as a brand, and I believe it's done that.
Yeah, and it's actually one of those things, I think, the Tube ones in particular, where as soon as you know about a brand, wherever it may be that you first hear about it, for example, in our case, like, okay, we now are super clued up on Bulbro.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to start seeing it everywhere. Yeah, right? Yeah. And it just reinforces that, oh, these guys are everywhere, you know, like people are using this. Oh, they're even on the Tube, you know, everything like that. So I think it's like, if you hit all these multiple channels, it sort of reinforces this, like, we own this space kind of thing, or like we're leading in this space.
100%. And, yeah. And people, you know, legacy media is still a thing, right? I mean, people trust it way more than they trust just the digital platforms.
Yeah.
So you know, there's two things. It's opportunity to buy and opportunity to see. So if you're available everywhere and visible everywhere, you've got the best chance of doing something.
Nice. And this has been a theme throughout this whole conversation, but like, what's your vision for bold positivity within like the skincare space?
Okay. I mean, we try not to take ourselves too seriously, right? It's not like, oh, woe is us, we've went bald. Like,
I'm getting that impression from you, though.
No, but we don't want anyone to feel sorry for us. This is all about just shortening that space of time that the young guys go through when they realize they're losing their hair before taking control. So my personal journey, I spent years trying to sort of either take hair loss medication or prevent what was always going to happen. And if I'd known how happy I would be as a bald guy, I would never have bothered with all that cost and expense and worry.
Mm.
And so that's what Bulbro is really all about, is just shortening that gap and then providing some really awesome products for when you are bald and you'll need these skincare products. So our vision is to become the global sort of go-to skincare and grooming brand for bald guys. That's really it. It's like a large vision, but I really think that we're going to do it because from foundation, the ingredients are right.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned global there, like where are you selling? Like what markets are you selling at the minute, like internationally?
Okay. So right now we're just testing really. So it's just on all the brand stuff. I mean, we are a UK brand in a UK market. All our social media is very, you know, the UK tinge and flavor. But as I mentioned with the PayPal revenue, we do some testing just through sort of either Meta and Google campaigns, nothing out of home or anything like that. So I wouldn't say that we are a true international brand, but we are testing international markets to see, and quite a few of them, to see where we see green shoots and then where we can then base a broader brand strategy after that. So we know, okay, if we're seeing potentially in Ireland, for example, okay, the brand is resonating there, well, then maybe we'll double down on that and start doing some brand pieces and really focusing on that as the next expansion market.
Yeah, interesting.
And that could be anywhere, right?
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah, I mean, for me, this has been really, really insightful. I mentioned off this, I'm genuinely considering shaving my head.
Okay, well,
you're like talking with yourself, like it's great to see your, like you say, your positivity, your smiling, your journey. But I think like talking about how cool it is to be bold it's been refreshing.
This is a good question, right? And is it like, obviously, if you naturally go bald, that's kind of probably what the most common scenario, right?
Sure.
Well, then you've got these imposters, maybe like Theo, trying to pretend. What's the community's fault?
Very pro. Yeah. You know, because it's not just guys who suffer from male pattern baldness, right? It's like there's alopecia, there's even female hair loss, and then there's guys who are bald by choice.
Yeah.
And that's all, we welcome them all. I mean, Bulbro is called Bulbro. It's got kind of a bit of a masculine brand, but we welcome all comers into the bald world. And just so you know, every just before Father's Day every year, we do a free beer for the bald. So we're based in South Birmingham. We team up with the Birmingham Brew Co. And we release a special bald brew. And we serve pints. So you get your first pint and a curry free if you're bald.
You're doing it with me?
Yeah. So,
free pint and a curry.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Love and it. However you come bald, if it's just...
By choice or nature.
In fact, this year, some guy actually shaved his head at the event to get his pint. So,
love that. Yeah. That's awesome. One way to get a free pint.
Yeah, exactly.
It's giving me flashbacks of when you lost that bet and you had to do the Ronaldo R9 haircut.
Yeah, I did the R9 haircut with the patch at the front. Yeah. See, I'm not... I don't mind. I think I'm going to try it out.
You should.
I'm going to try it.
Highly recommend
it. And now I've said it on air, so it's going to happen.
But I mean, just so you know, no bad hair days.
Yeah.
No, you know, no worrying about what haircut suits what style. No, is there a bit of hair out of place?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually the most.
You're trying to tell me something?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'm not anti-hair, but I'm just saying there are a lot of positives to being bald. Genuinely.
Awesome. Thanks, Tarek. To wrap us up, then, I think like. The last thing that we always ask on the podcast is, what's your favorite brand to shop from?
My favorite brand to shop from? Oh, it's a tough one. Can I say two?
Yeah. Okay. We love a shout out and we'd love to know why.
Okay. So I'm a big coffee fan.
Yep.
And there's a startup in Cambridge called Golden Bear Coffee. And this guy, he goes to these Cup of Excellence competitions and he buys micro lots of some of the best coffee in the world, takes it, roasts it in a small roastery in Cambridge. And it's very, I think it's very small, very bespoke, a little bit expensive. But if you're really into your elite coffee, this is your man. And I like their slogan. It says, golden bears are rare, but you've got one or something. So they're very cool. And I'm really excited to see where they go in their journey as a brand. Because, I mean, it's a competitive space.
Yeah.
But they've got something there that's, you know, a lot of people pretend to be high-end coffee.
Yeah.
This guy really is. And then apart from that, they're not really well done, but I'm a jiu-jitsu fan, so I love tatami.
Tatami's my go-to.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally bought some shorts the other day from tatami.
Yeah, they're cool. And a lot of jiu-jitsu brands seem to be really overpriced.
It's so affordable.
Yeah.
They always have sales on £20 for some shorts. I mean.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. I mean, their sales, I don't know how genuine they are because they're always on.
Yeah,
but it is my go-to. They've got cool designs. And that's another like sort of subculture that I'm a part of. And it's nice to have a brand that's not trying to rip me off and doing some cool designs and stuff. So I love them and always try and support them when I can.
Love that.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I've been trying to get them on the podcast for a while. So if you've got any
questions. Well, I don't. I mean, yeah.
But let's just send them the clip we want to talk more.
Get on the podcast.
Yeah. Send me some free geese.
I'm not doing any of that geese stuff.
I know.
I'm a no geese guy.
Okay, nice. Okay, keep it simple.
I look stupid in pajamas, I do. So I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. We're loving it.
The podcast, we've done it. So just to wrap things up, if anyone listening wants to find out more about Bald Bro, where can they do so?
Okay, go to bldbro.com. It's baldbro.com. Or just check out our Instagram, bld.bro, and you'll see what we're all about.
Amazing. And I'm going to do the little outro here. So thanks, Tarek. You're going to have to listen to me do an outro. So, the episode has been presented by Not Commerce and sponsored by Cubix Shopify Agency. Thanks for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure, Tarek. And hopefully this has been insightful for the listeners.
See you next time on WTF is Retail.